This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes.
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for. And I'm sorry that we did not win this election.
On day one, I'm going to begin swiftly removing criminal, illegal immigrants from this country.
That's a wrap on election 2016. Donald Trump is president-elect. Let's talk about what's next.
People think the world is going to end. The sky is falling. The sky does not fall. That's what's great about our country. What's great about our country is we have a peaceful transition of power, and we have checks and balances.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me first start by saying this is a lot better than the last time I did one of these in Miami.
Trump's election sent shockwaves through folks who think they know what the future might hold for Florida politics in 2018. And I think it's going to be another wide open, very exciting season.
This is episode 83, a special post-election edition of The Rotunda. And I rise up. That's what pretty much all of the polls were telling us about Hillary Clinton, that she will rise up and break that glass ceiling and become the nation's 45th president. But instead, political pundits and analysts were doing this.
He's going to be the president. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no. I'm already there.
The returns were flowing in and they just weren't making sense. That's me talking to the rest of the political team carrying Orlando CBS affiliate's results 2016 coverage. It soon became clear that Trump was going to come out on top. And I know you feel like dying. As the shock started to set in, protests started in several cities around the country. Here are the streets of Chicago. Before our eyes, we all found ourselves trapped in season 2 of the world's largest reality TV show. But now all of those over-the-top promises Trump made during his intensely negative campaign are just a few days away from actuality.
On day one, I'm going to begin swiftly removing criminal, illegal immigrants from this country. The first piece of paper that I'm going to sign is we're going to get rid of these people. We are going to get rid of them day one. We start day one. On day one, we will begin working on an impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful southern border wall. We're going to convene my top generals and give them a simple instruction. They will have 30 days to submit to the Oval Office a plan for soundly and quickly defeating ISIS. I'm going to ask Congress to send me a bill to repeal and replace, finally, Obamacare. It's a disaster. Under Senate rules, that bill can be passed with 51 votes. 51. Meaning a Republican Congress and a Republican president can save Americans from this disaster in a single afternoon.
I will get rid of gun-free zones on schools, and you have to. And on military bases, my first day it gets signed, okay? My first day.
Republicans will maintain control in both houses of Congress. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Trump heard a voice out in this country that no one else heard. He connected in ways with people no one else did. He turned politics on its head. And now, Donald Trump will lead a unified Republican government.
But how much of a balance will there be when you add a new conservative Supreme Court justice to the mix? Republicans will control all three branches of government. This is huge.
But look, everything's going to be okay in this country. We have checks and balances. We have a Congress. Yes, it may be a Republican Congress, but remember, a lot of those Republicans don't agree with Donald Trump. And we have a Supreme Court. There are checks and balances out there. Donald Trump cannot do everything he has said he's going to do. That is just not going to happen. Just like no candidate can ever accomplish everything they've said they're going to do.
By the way, you're also hearing from political analyst and pollster Brian Graham.
The world's not going to end if Hillary Clinton won. It didn't end when Barack Obama won for Republicans. You know, every election we go through this. Mm-hmm. People think the world is going to end. The sky is falling. The sky does not fall. That's what's great about our country. What's great about our country is we have a peaceful transition of power, and we have checks and balances on elected officials, and everything will work out.
All right. Graham was also part of the Results 2016 coverage on Click Orlando. We'll talk more with him in a few, but first, the media. What a colossal failure to the public. They ended up doing to themselves what they feared most, becoming sort of like state-owned media. Propaganda media. Think about it. The entire country, including the Trump campaign, were set for a Clinton victory, if not for a very close outcome. But the media was so far out of touch, they failed us all by relying on old techniques, polls, entrenched pundits, while overlooking just how much the country has changed. Okay, Donald Trump tapped into something even the media clearly wasn't prepared for. But they had a responsibility. Journalism, journalism ethics. We saw cozy relationships with various media outlets. Both campaigns had their friendly reporters, and those media outlets continued to give up their independence and impartiality by offering up questions to the candidates in advance. That is disingenuous. When one outlet does it, it trickles down. Both campaigns demanded journalists to submit questions in advance, and they bullied local and small town reporters into the same practice. Reporters are people too. Many did not believe Trump was going to or should win. And it was plastered on everyone's faces when the results showed that he did. We were all shocked. Let's face it, Donald Trump speaks directly to his supporters via Twitter, for example. His supporters are friends with non-supporters. His message is getting out faster, quicker, without gatekeepers.
The fact that I have such power in terms of numbers with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc., I think it helped me win all of these races where they're spending much more money than I spend. And I won. I think that social media has more power than the money they spent, and I think maybe to a certain extent I proved that.
The very same people the media has labeled as non-educated white voters. If you happen to be on the receiving end of those labels, it will sting to hear that you're pretty much cast aside as not that educated. These people had a voice, and they used it.
It's a movement comprised of Americans from all races, religions, backgrounds, and beliefs who want and expect our government to serve the people, and serve the people it will.
All right, I can go on about the media's role in being ill-prepared for a candidate Trump, but let's get back to election night with Brian Graham.
I'm a political consultant, analyst on a lot of different media outlets, and so we're here tonight doing that together in Orlando.
What do you make of what we saw as we watched the returns flow in? Or did you expect any of the outcome that we saw tonight?
Well, I expected it to be a very close race, and I knew by looking at several states early on, we could tell the trends and how it was going. I knew early on that if Donald Trump kept it close in several of these states, like Pennsylvania, that he was going to probably continue the trend and do well throughout the country. And that looks like what has happened. He's overperformed. He, you know, won the state of Florida. He's won North Carolina. He won Ohio. He won all these battleground states. Everything really went his way tonight. And it is really a wave election. And he was able to turn out his voters.
One of the things that we talked about, and you said that was lacking in the national discourse on the media, is the excitement that he brought to this presidential race.
Absolutely. You know, as we look through, you know, a lot of the discourse in the country, they would talk about national polls. Well, national polls don't matter. State by state polls are what matters. And then, you know, they would say, well, you know, Hillary Clinton is up by 1 or 2 points in this state, 1 or 2 points here and there. Well, that's great. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win that state because of the level of excitement. If Hillary Clinton is not able to turn out black voters, Hispanic voters, and young voters, she can't win the election. And it looks like she just was not able to excite enough of those voters to fulfill a lot of these polls showing her up in these states. Donald Trump, however, had all the momentum late, and you could even tell by looking at a Donald Trump rally. He could easily get 20,000 people, while Hillary Clinton had to struggle to get 2,000 at a rally. That's excitement, and that matters in these close races when you're turning out people to vote.
What more could she have done? Could she have, say, picked a different running mate, maybe a Cory Booker or Bernie Sanders? What do you think she could have done to really put some more excitement on her side?
I think that a young Hispanic would have been more beneficial for her. I'm not sure there's anything that she herself could have done to change about herself, because just her personality, she's just not as exciting of an individual as someone like Donald Trump, who knows how to excite people. He knows how to get attention. He's done it. He's built an entire career out of getting attention. She has not. And so just saying that you are experienced and you know how to do the job and you're going to continue doing what's been going on for the last 8 years is not necessarily exciting. You can't always get what
you want. That's political analyst Brian Graham with Dixie Strategies. So it was all rigged, folks. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote and Donald Trump is getting the electoral votes. Should we get rid of the rigged system, Electoral College? Ah, I'm only using those strong words to lead into the intense anxiety and pressure placed on poll workers when President-elect Trump started shouting that there was voter fraud countrywide and a rigged system overall. That pissed off a lot of election supervisors, including Florida's most outspoken, Ion Sancho, Leon County's retiring supervisor of elections. Here he is at a Souls to the Polls event in downtown Tallahassee.
Anyone who believes that our elections are rigged is probably too ignorant for me to tell them otherwise. But I will tell you that in the state of Florida, all of our ballots are paper ballots. We don't even need electronics to tabulate those numbers. We have probably now, after the reforms of 2012, in which the legislature really screwed themselves and they were embarrassed and had to restore to the citizens and the supervisors the kind of flexibility that we demanded in order to have good elections. So the 2016 presidential election will be the fairest, most accurate, and most accessible election that I will have seen conducted in my 28 years as supervisor. Florida elections are not rigged. American elections are not rigged.
And the reason why it's nearly impossible to have like a all-around rigged system is because?
Well, because there are over 8,000 voting jurisdictions in the United States. I'm sorry, but nobody coordinates those. There is no central body to coordinate elections. The Division of Elections in Florida doesn't do elections. It's the 67 local supervisor of elections. And so locally, all the numbers are generated locally and audited locally. And the news media, particularly, for example, the Associated Press, has an individual in every supervisor of elections office in the state of Florida. And they independently put their own check on the total. So independently from the state numbers and from the supervisor of elections, the media does a check and has historically done that same check in Florida. So individuals that are talking about rigging the elections are ignorant of the facts. And quite frankly, I find it shameless fear-mongering. This is simply another type of voter suppression tactic. If we can make people fearful about voting, maybe they won't vote.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. There were also a lot of independent work done by outside organizations to ensure the system wasn't rigged. That brings me to my old stomping ground at the University of Florida. Go Gators! The journalism school was participating in a nationwide program called Election Land. Have a listen.
My name is Megan Mangrum, and I'm a graduate student here at the University of Florida. And I work in the Innovation News Center with our reporting students, normally just reporting, but also organizing different projects like our Election Land project.
And I'm so glad to be here. I'm an alum. You guys have fancier digs than what I had to do with a few years ago. But what is Election Land?
Yeah, Election Land is a national project that actually was originally founded and coordinated by ProPublica, but it's a collection of over 650 journalism school students at J schools across the country and over 400 reporters. From our end, our students are basically mining social media for issues of voting issues, issues at the polls, intimidation, suppression, fraud, and they're trying to verify those social media posts, get more information about it, and give that to people in New York at Election Land headquarters who are then vetting that and getting that out to reporters.
So today it's election day and the pressure is on. Mm-hmm. On people are monitoring to see whether the system is rigged, as one of the candidates have been basically saying that it's actually happening. So what are you finding so far in this project?
We are finding a lot of long lines. That's been a very common thing on social media, which has nothing to do with things being rigged. It has to do with a lot of people turning out to vote, which is great. In terms of rigged type things, we are seeing a little bit of intimidation from both sides, different sides of the ballot, some people going to their polling places and feeling a little uncomfortable based on the other supporters who were there. In South Florida, there were rumors of some intimidation. There was rumors of a fight breaking out at a polling location. But we haven't seen a lot of that. We also have seen a lot of people just, I'm here to vote, a lot of enthusiastic posts, which we aren't investigating, but it's good to see those as well in the Twitter feeds.
Yeah. So what happens when you encounter or you're hearing a report of voter intimidation mm-hmm. or the possibility of that happening at a polling site? What do you guys do at Election Land?
Mm-hmm. Well, from our standpoint here at the University of Florida, our students look into this post. They figure out, is this a real person or is this a robot? They try to get some details about that person. Does this person look like they're posting inflammatory things? Does this person look like this is probably a genuine, authentic, you know, complaint that happened? And we're putting it in this data system where people in New York at Election Land headquarters are then kind of organizing these, watching for trends, and then sending reporters out on the ground to figure out, hey, what is happening in Broward County? What is happening in Hillsborough?
What's going to happen with all of this data that you guys collected after Election Day is over? What's next?
That's a good question. Right now, we're still trying to figure out what some of those uses will be. It will be good data to use to study what those big voting issues are, trying to figure out if there was really issues of voter suppression or intimidation, if that was a theme of the election, like some people were worried about. So I guess we'll see.
That's Megan Mangrum at the University of Florida talking about Election Land during my brief stop in Gainesville on Election Day. You're listening to The Rotunda, a podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Visit rotundapodcast.com, follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, share this program with your friends, and please send your generous support to rotundapodcast.com. Thanks. Welcome back to The Rotunda. Donald Trump's win is a big sigh of relief for several of his top supporters here in the Sunshine State, from Governor Rick Scott to Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's now on Trump's transition team. Drew Gruters, his campaign co-chair, who's featured on episode 82 of The Rotunda, had a big win for himself as he's coming to Tallahassee as one of the newest members in the Florida House.
Certainly, having, you know, being a friend of the President of the United States can't be a bad thing for a state representative. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that relationship plays out.
That's Brian Burgess, publisher of The Capitalist, based in Tallahassee. Let's continue on with a focus on some of the other races. Marco Rubio is heading back to the U.S. Senate.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let me first start by saying this is a lot better than the last time I did one of these in Miami.
Will he try for another run at the White House? We'll have to wait and see. Former Governor Charlie Crist is back in the political spotlight. He's finally heading to Washington. Meanwhile, Congressman John Mica is out, thanks to Democratic newcomer Stephanie Murphy. She is now among the 10 new House members going to Washington, which includes Val Demings, Al Lawson, Darren Soto, plus Republicans Neil Dunn, Matt Gaetz, Brian Mast, Francis Rooney, and John Rutherford. Other issues on the Florida ballot, medical marijuana was a big win, and the utility-backed solar amendment was a big flop after leaked audio revealed the amendment was a sham. Anyway, how does this election cycle shape Florida's future? I'm not quite sure, but it's worth talking about with Brian Burgess at The Capitalist.
It's a complete reset. I mean, obviously, it's a stunner. The polls didn't see it. And because of that, it forces everyone to take a step back from what they thought reality was going to be in the next year, in the next 2 years. And I think for the 2018 election cycle, it forces people to do some recalculation of what reality might hold and what the future might hold for certain people. And so there's no sure things, especially in politics, and there's a real hunger for an outsider, that outsider mentality. Trump's election sent shockwaves through folks who think they know what the future might hold for Florida politics in 2018. And I think it's going to be another wide open, very exciting season. So I'm looking forward to seeing sort of how people begin to jockey and set up for things.
Everybody got it wrong. Like, nearly everyone got it wrong. Only a few, select few, can say, like, they predicted this and it came through. So what impact immediately do you think it will have on Florida politics?
Well, I don't know how immediate that will be. I think part of the issue will be that Donald Trump's got to figure out how to navigate Washington first, so that the trickle-down effect might take a little while to get to Florida. But I do think that it'll embolden some factions in Florida politics, and it will cause others to sort of step back a minute. And I think there was a real thinking that there might be a reckoning in Florida politics once Trump lost. Now that didn't happen, you know, people are going to have to really cautiously consider what it all means, to sort of take stock of the situation. And I think there's going to be some people proceeding with great caution. Other people, as I said, emboldened to speak more loudly. It's an exciting time. I wasn't a huge Trump fan. I was a staunch conservative, but Trump represents sort of a different animal altogether. Even so, I think he's got the bully pulpit now, and it's just going to be, he can be a kingmaker in Florida politics, but that's, and across the country, but that's not going to be his priority. So it's going to take a while for there to be an impact here.
We have incoming Joe Gruters, freshman representative, and he led the Trump organization here in Florida. What does that mean for him going into that? I haven't seen him on the leadership roster in the legislature yet. Will that all change soon?
You know, I don't know Speaker Corcoran very well. I know Joe, he's a friend, and I don't know how that dynamic might play out. But obviously, Representative Gruters is going to be well regarded as he comes in here. He won by a fairly healthy margin, and I think that he's going to have some political capital to spend in that regard. Certainly, being a friend of the President of the United States can't be a bad thing for a state representative. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that relationship plays out. I think Speaker Corcoran has a pretty his agenda is sort of planned out already. It doesn't seem to be overly ambitious, and that's not as a slight. That's like, you know, a lot of conservatives like to see a very limited agenda when it comes to the legislature. In fact, we like to see the legislature just go home and not pass any new no new laws is sometimes a good thing when you're extremely conservative. So I think it's going to be an interesting thing to watch all this play out and how these different factions sort of figure out how to work together, because there are opportunities, especially if you're a Republican, especially if you're a conservative, but you've got to come to grips with the new reality.
How does this change how we cover the process, from new media to traditional media? Talk about people getting it wrong.
Yeah. Well, let's all be more humble, first of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people people saying they knew what was going to happen, and clearly you could spend a lifetime going back and rereading some of these reports. I've had a little bit of fun reading some of the mathematical prognostications and things like that. One of these guys that I subscribed to Wired magazine, and they were touting this new guy who promised to eat a bug if Trump got more than 240 electoral votes. So there's just a lot of confidence that I think has now been shaken to the core. And another amusing observation was that now we have the media and all these folks telling us what to think of what happened. when they didn't know what was going to happen in the first place. So why should we listen to them now? Bottom line is, look, let's just all be more humble. Let's take a step back. Let's all calm down. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what we did wrong, what we got right, and we'll go from there. America's a healthy country. It's had more peaceful transitions of power than any country in history. And it's still a great nation, and we just got to figure out how we can all work together to make this place great. And it's another opportunity for us.
How does the candidate, I agree with you there, but how does a candidate who didn't paint such an optimistic picture going into this now pivot to, like, hey, well, I think we're great, come together?
I think what's his slogan, though? Make America great again. I mean, obviously, the slogan is America was great once, it can be great again. So I would argue that there is some optimism there. Did he paint a dark picture in terms of why he needed to be the guy to come in? Yeah, he did. That was one of the things that was off-putting to me, because as a conservative, I like to be, like, I consider myself, and I'm an eternal optimist and all that. But I understand where he was coming from, because, you know, maybe you're being blind if you don't recognize some of the major problems that our country faces. So I think there's some of that is good, and I still reject the idea that he's not an optimist. He labeled the country great at one point, and that was his slogan. And so I think it's not that hard for him to pivot.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together.
Trump is calling for unity, which is ironic, considering the divisive culture he created. This cannot be forgotten. It's not a partisan issue. It's a human issue, a societal issue. The racial divide is widening. All around, we're hearing stories. Universities are issuing alerts. Schools are issuing alerts from people celebrating, calling for deportation, screaming white power. So I truly hope everyone comes together in unity to combat the rise in incidents of racist attacks that's going on around this country and those who support and encourage the practice. Check out The Capitalist at thecapitalist.com. You can also download the app that brings news and information, including this podcast, right to your fingertips. Oh, as we wrap up, farewell is in order to Florida's Democratic Party Chairwoman, Allison Tant. She is stepping down following the massive loss in election 2016. And a machine recount has been ordered for a Florida House race between Democrat Robert Asensio and Republican David Rivera for Miami-Dade County's House District 118 seat. Keep an eye on that one. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Brian Graham at Dixie Strategies, Megan Mangrum at the University of Florida's Election Land Project, retiring Leon County Supervisor of Elections Ion Sancho, and Brian Burgess with The Capitalist. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com, take a moment to fill out our listener survey, and be sure to join us again next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.